Now, we're joined by Associate Professor Susie Wiles, who's highlighted a concerning case where medical misinformation contributed to a delay in effective treatment, turning what was a routine childhood infection into a life-threatening illness. Susie, thank you for joining us on Radio Wātea. Tēnā koe.
Morena.
Thank you. Nice to hear your voice again. Hey, how significant a role is medical misinformation now playing in delays to treatment and poorer health outcomes for children? Could you set up our kōrero with a little more detail about this particular case and why it's important we use it as a model to try and improve services and the way we operate going forward, Susie?
Yeah, absolutely. So some doctors have just reported a case study. So this is when doctors basically write a publication for other doctors and things about cases that they've come across that might be interesting, exactly to sort of help people decide how to maybe treat cases better. And so in this report, they it's about a 9-year-old child who came to them with a very easy to treat infection. They'd had they'd been scratched by their cat on their eyelid, it had become infected, and they had a very swollen sort of eye and eyelid. And so this is a very, very easy thing to treat nowadays with antibiotics. And so they were given a course of antibiotic tablets, and sent home with that. And that should have been the end of the story. But they ended up seeing the child a few days later, and the swelling was now very, very serious, and had turned into something. It's got a very funny name. It's called Pott's puffy tumor, which makes it sound like a cancer, but it's not a cancer. It's just a very, very, very big swelling on the forehead. And it used to be very common before we had antibiotics, but now that we have antibiotics, it's very, very, very rare. And so what had happened is the child had gone home, and because the parents have certain feelings about medicine, they didn't take the antibiotics, and instead they used something else called silver nitrate. And so it hadn't treated the infection, and the infection had got worse and worse, and it had now turned into this big, what looks from the outside like a tumor. And so what then needed to happen was the child had to have surgery to have all of the infection removed. And then they had to go on intravenous antibiotics. So, they had to be in hospital for 6 weeks, hooked up to, drips and stuff to have antibiotics, flushed into their system. And this POTS thing is really serious, because it's on the head. If it gets worse, she possibly could have lost the sight in her eye. She could have had, all sorts of things, neurological problems. It's very serious. And so what they're writing about is really to try to say that, the fact that the parents have these thoughts about medicine, brought about by, what they call medical misinformation. So, false and misleading information on the internet generally about medicine, about treatments, meant that they didn't use the treatment that was needed and turned this cat scratch into something that should have been just resolved in a few days to something that required, a long stay in hospital and surgery, and ran the risk of causing, serious long-term harm to the child.
Well, tēnā koe, thank you. I think I'm somewhat guilty of this myself, we've all got the net, we've got AI, and we've all got Dr. Google. So, when there's a rash or an issue, some swelling, we go and have a look. Why would my knee be swollen? So some of that misinformation can have some dire real-life consequences. Not just some parents, I'd say lots, and doctors must get frustrated when patients go into talk with them and almost telling the doctor what they've got. But why are some parents turning to social media and influencers and alternative health sources instead of trusting the advice of medical professionals? It's seems to be a situation that's growing rather than shrinking, Susie.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two issues here, right? You've absolutely touched on the, you know, the Dr. Google issue, where if you look at something, you know, I've got a rash, what is it? And usually you think you're going to die, right? So it often gives you the worst case scenario, and it's not that, right? So I think there's, you know, doctors face two challenges. One, people coming in going, I think I'm going to die. Dr. Google says I've got this, and it turns out, no, it's fine, it's not that. And this is absolutely getting worse with generative AI, where, you know, it just makes up all sorts of stuff. And then on the other side of the problem is the misinformation around, we saw this during the pandemic, right? So we have people who exist around the world who've always made money from selling, you know, supplements or things that don't actually work, that aren't treatments, but they make money from them, and they, you know, they get people invested in them. We saw this around vaccines. So, you know, trying to claim that, you know, all vaccines are harmful and all this sort of stuff, and selling something instead. And so we saw this kind of supercharge during the pandemic, and it's just got worse with generative AI. And the problem with social media is, even if you don't look for something that, you know, if you maybe you're a little bit hesitant about vaccines, and you might have even just talked about it with someone else, you know, our devices are listening to us all the time. You know, you end up starting to be sent, shown information in your feed. So if you use Facebook, or even when you're doing searching on Google, you'll start to be shown videos and stuff. And the more that you then start to watch, you know, videos or read articles that might sort of, you know, start to push you in a particular direction. And then before you know it, as we saw with COVID, you know, suddenly you don't believe that viruses exist, or, you know, you don't believe that vaccines are useful and stuff. And mm-hmm. And this is the bigger problem, is the fact that these platforms push all this false and misleading information. And sometimes they take a little bit of information that's true, and then they just wrap it in a whole bunch of stuff that's not. And so you end up with somebody who might be just slightly hesitant at the beginning, ended up going full tilt down the rabbit hole. And we all know people that this happened to during the pandemic. That had a big impact.
It's sort of understandable, though, isn't it? I was with a mate the other day, and his little one had a rash. He was weighing up, well, I've got a 6-hour wait at Pōkeno, or maybe a 4-hour wait. This is just to see a doctor. And then we have the ongoing reports of super crowded EDs, might have an 8-hour wait at that one and a 6-hour wait. Oh, hang on a second, I'll just have a look on Google. Now, we do have Healthline.
Yeah, see what I can find that might be useful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is just, an example of modern-day life, but it can be, as you've pointed out, extremely dangerous too.
Yeah, and I think we have to separate what is modern day life. So, I mean, you know, the fact that we've got these huge waiting times and all this kind of stuff they're political decisions about where we spend our taxes, right? And so all of us as people who should be voting in the upcoming election have a role to play in who decides where our taxes go, right? So we really want to be voting for parties who are going to say, well, I'm going to improve the health system, not make it worse. So there's that aspect of it that I can totally understand why somebody would want to choose an alternative to, you know, having to spend that time in waiting, because many people do not have that time, right? You can't take the time off work. So that is a voting issue. And that is separate from people who reject modern medicine because they've been pulled down a rabbit hole. And so they start to use dangerous things, and they reject, you know, in this case, what they're doing is they've gone to the doctor because they know that this is serious. They've been given a treatment which is the one that works, and they've decided not to take that and to take something that used to be used hundreds of years ago because we didn't have antibiotics, and, you know, and works sometimes and doesn't work at other times. And because they took something that didn't work over the treatment that did, they ended up putting their child's life in danger.
Yeah.
And there was a hint in this case that that might have been the case because the child was unvaccinated. So this is a family that probably have certain feelings about medicine. And I think the other thing to sit to for doctors is to, if you have a child like this who comes in who hasn't been vaccinated, is to just go, well, are there any reasons why that might involve not just, you know, not the reasons of I can't make it to the doctor, but the reasons of I don't believe that vaccines work. And how do you have those really, those conversations in a way that don't push people further away from medicine, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Susie. It's it is an issue. If you're listening in today, bear in mind that, you know, we don't always know better. And that, you know, Dr. Google and all the associated availabilities of perspectives are not necessarily the best way to go. You and I, we've discussed a sort of governmental distrust, and so that's filtered into some people's attitudes towards vaccination as well, including for many of our people. But, you know, these are, as Susie's touched on, these can be life-changing or decisions that are being made, and something that looks as though it's a minor situation all of a sudden becomes life-threatening. So be very mindful of this. And as Susie mentioned, we've got our opportunity to have a say in the future of our healthcare system come November. Thanks, Susie, for reminding us of the challenges in this space. It's something that we need to highlight more regularly. Appreciate you spending some time with us again. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Tēnā koe. Associate Professor Susie Wiles there joining us, talking about misinformation in a medical sense.